I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
And DeGenovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
When you dial 911, it's because you need an officer right away. Should you have to wait 14 minutes and 46 seconds for a cop to get there? No. But in Salt Lake City, things at the police department have gone from slow to slower.
And that is the last thing you want to hear when you dial 911. Hey, we're going to get to you as quickly as possible. When you call 911, you want someone there now. So when we see these times growing and that it's a trend, this is not just a one-off. This is a trend that has started in January, and you're just seeing these times get longer and longer. And now we're talking, what, 15 minutes?
We've been tracking it. For months, we started tracking this last year, where things were getting slower. And these are the top priority calls, right? These aren't, I stubbed my toe, I need a cop. This is a priority one call. So in January, Dave, it was 11 minutes. That was the response time. In February, it slowed to 11 minutes and 43 seconds. It stays kind of the same in April. 11 minutes and 45 seconds. And then in May, the wheels fell off. Things didn't get better. They got worse. They're up to 14 minutes and 46 seconds.
Sergeant Horrocks is joining us right now with the Salt Lake Police Department. Sergeant Horrocks, give us an idea. Is this just a bad month or is this a trend?
No, let's hope that it's not a trend. We're really working hard to drive that number down. You're absolutely right. Those are priority one calls. These are our most important calls for service. And 1446 is a difficult number to look at and realize that that's what we've got. What I would say, though, is I want to highlight our officers that we have in the field. Those officers who are from the start of their 10-hour shift, taking that first initial call, and they're going from call to call to call for 10 hours a day, all 40 hours a week, and then some. You know, we also can't look away from the fact that we currently have 49 vacancies in our department, and some more coming by July 15th, and so. You know, there are a lot of factors at play here, but I think what I do want to highlight is our officers who are out on patrol right now taking those 911 calls really do care about answering that call for service. They are working as hard as they can to get to those calls as fast as they can. Last week, Chief Brown announced that he's repurposing many of our specialty squads like bikes, parks, gangs, our motor units, and putting them back to being call-responsive squads so that we can help drive that number down. And we hope to see that will help with that response time. That's what we expect to see. But what I want folks to know is we're still coming. When you call 911, we are coming, and we're working towards getting that down.
Sergeant Horrocks, if you're taking officers, for example, the gang unit, and putting them in a responsive, situation where they need to be responsive to these 911 calls or other calls for help, then what happens to the gang unit and gang issues that are going on in the city? Do those get worse?
Yeah, there's obviously, you know, that could have that potential. Those gang units will still be responsible for monitoring that activity and trying to keep their finger on the pulse of that. Our motors officers, you know, you may see less tickets written in Salt Lake City. People will be happy about that, I assume. But, Yeah, there is an impact when you pull officers from specialty assignments, but you know that's what we're dealing with right now, and that's where this is not a permanent arrangement by no means. It's just in order to get us through. You know, summertime calls tick up. We post every week how many calls we have for service, and you know, December 28, 2020 through January 3rd, 2021, we had 2,700 calls for service that week. Last week, we had 3,600 calls for service. So there's definitely a trend of calls for service during the summer that go up. So we're working through a lot of different variables, and I think we're trying to provide the best service to our community that we can with the resources that we have.
Sergeant Horrocks, you touched on this already. You said there were 49 vacancies. And I don't question at all that the officers are doing the best they can. That is not my concern at all. My worry is that you just don't have enough officers to cover the shifts and the need, because we know that you've had a huge amount of officers leave for a million different reasons, down maybe 15 to 20% on the police force. Is there even a chance that there's an easy fix? Because I know it's hard enough to get officers trained, to hire them from other agencies. I mean, if you're out of bodies, what else can you do?
Yeah, so that's where we're at, right? And you're absolutely right. I think we've chatted with you about this before, Dave, is, you know, it takes more than a year to take an officer from hire date to being able to turn them out as a solo patrol officer. And so, yeah, those 49 vacancies are going to take a while to replenish, and then natural attrition after that. So it's certainly something that our recruiting folks and our hiring folks are looking at, and they're aware of, and they're planning for. We're trying to forecast to make sure that we cover that. And so, you know, that's something that we deal with. So
you wish there was an easier answer. There is not. And there's not a quick fix. And I think we're sympathetic to the cause. But
one other thing that we have to consider, too, is we can only hire and train 30 officers at a time. Our training unit doesn't have the capability to hire more than that. So that also limits that a little bit.
So many more questions to discuss with you, Sergeant Horrocks, but we'll let you go for now because we're out of time. But the Salt Lake City Police Department now up to 14 minutes and 46 seconds, speaking of time, in the response times for Priority 1 calls. And if you're a resident in Salt Lake City, David, you and I aren't. We have different police departments who get there faster, frankly. I would be worried. That's not good. In fact, the national average is far shorter than that. They're way, way off base with that.
Yeah, we've heard this from Chief Mike Brown. He says we want it under 10. That is kind of the standard that they're looking at. So if you're shooting for 10 minutes, but you're closer to 15 with no real good solution on how to fix this. You heard it. They're pulling from the gang unit. They're pulling from, you know, other specialty units. Well, okay, that might help with the 911 calls, but we know we have a gang problem in Salt Lake. What happens when you start taking away those resources?
We're going to continue to track this story keep you updated on Salt Lake City Police Department to see if they improve their response times or if things get even slower over the summer. Straight ahead, we're going to fly on up to Davis County, where David lives, because we heard there were a series, almost 100 accidental 911 calls. I think we call them pocket dials from one very specific place. We're going to find out if they got to the bottom of that straight ahead.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors?
I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.